This is an iHeart podcast.
Whatever team Fia is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Newton Group Transfer. They are here to help you if you're stuck in a timeshare. These stories from people who have these timeshares and can't get out of them, they're shocking. These timeshare companies, not all of them, but so many, they get their hooks into you and you can't give them up. You can't give them up. Or they'll do things like they charge you thousands of dollars. One girl, she got past her timeshare when her mother passed away. She gets past the timeshare, doesn't want the timeshare, doesn't use the timeshare. They tell her she can get out of it. For $4,000, she has to come up with a $4,000 check. This is not right. It's unjust. And Newton Group Transfers is here to help you. If you are in a timeshare and want out or know someone who is, call 888-845-3773. That's 888-84-JESSE or go to timesharejesse.com. Newton Group Transfer. They will help you out. You know, your house smells. Don't get mad. Don't get mad. My house smells too. I'm not indicting you. I'm sure you keep a clean home, but just time means you're going to acquire smells, whether those are cooking smells that get in your paint, your carpet. Maybe they're animal smells. Maybe you're a smoker or someone else was. Just living creates smells. I didn't realize that my home had a smell to it until I got my first Eden Pure Thunderstorm, the greatest air purifier I've ever owned in my life. This thing, I had it plugged in for 2 hours. I came back in the room and my air smelled so clean. I now own three of them. I'm not making that up. This thing has absolutely changed me on top of what it's done for my allergies. Go get one. Get two. Be like me and get three. Go to EdenPureDeals.com. Make sure you use the promo code Jesse. That gets you $10 off and free shipping. EdenPureDeals.com, promo code Jesse. I'm back, baby. I know you're excited. Joe Biden's crazy and definitely wants to nuke us, but I'm back. We're going to talk about that and a lot more tonight on I'm Right.
To gun owners out there who say, well, a Biden administration means they're going to come for my guns.
Bingo. You're right if you have an assault weapon. The fact of the matter is they should be illegal, period.
Why? First of all, let's deal with the elephant in the room right off the bat. I've been gone. I've been gone for a week and a half, and I know you've spent that week weeping, crying. You don't know where to go. You don't know what to think without my guidance, but I'm back, and I'm not going anywhere. So don't worry. I just had some other stuff going on. All right, now that we talked about that, let's go back to this Joe Biden thing. Why? Have you ever really unpacked it? Have you ever thought about why Democrats are so anti you having guns? I mean, it gets uncomfortable, but that's what we do on this show, right? We talk about uncomfortable things and uncomfortable truths. What have I always told you? What are the two things that I find creepiest about the Democratic Party? Not two things I disagree with the most. I disagree with every platform, really, of the Democratic Party today, but two things that just kind of creep me out a little bit. There are two. One, their absolute love of abortion. Now, I don't know where you are on abortion. I'm rabidly pro-life. I make no apologies for that. But you, wherever you stand on it, you don't love it, though, right? They love it. They brag about it. That's creepy, number one. But two, and as I've always said, their desire to take your guns. They want to disarm you. And you don't think of it as creepy until you really dig into why. I mean, why? We hear it all the time. Democrats want to take guns. Republicans will hopefully do a decent job at protecting them. But why do they want to take guns? Now we're about to get uncomfortable. You ready for this? It's creepy because when you actually dig into it, as I've always told you, Democrats want to take your gun because Democrats want the freedom to hurt you if you don't comply. There's no other explanation. There's not one. And this is where we make the mistake on the right. And I've made this mistake 1,000 times too. I'm sure you have. And I'll even bring up some crime numbers and things later on in a minute so you can have some ammo to shoot down your crazy liberal cousin on Facebook or whatever. But you and I will say things like, well, what? Oh, they shouldn't want to take guns. The cities where the guns are banned or where all the violent crime is, the guns don't cause violent crime. And we bring up stats and things like that. Like I said, I'll give you some here in a minute. But when we do that, we're also missing the point. They know. They know. They're well aware that all the violent crime in this country takes place in cities where the guns are banned. They know that. They know there's never been a mass shooting at a gun show. Well, why not? If the guns are the problem, have you ever been to a gun show? I've been to a million. There are guns laying around everywhere. Everyone's wearing one. Everyone's selling one. Everyone's buying one. It's just nothing but guns. You can't walk 2 feet without running into one. But there's never been a mass shooting there. Why? Well, because guns are the problem. And you know, that's the same thing we've talked about 1,000 times. But the thing is, that argument doesn't shoot down anything for Democrats. Because again, they know. They know guns aren't the problem. They think you're the problem. And that can be hard for us to accept about our fellow citizens, right? Joe Biden, the people around Joe Biden, they don't lay awake at night thinking to themselves, what can we do to stop China? Hey, we should contain Iran. What can we do there? They don't think like that. They sit around at night, cocktail, friends over, and they think about how to stop you. That's the truth. And that can be a bitter pill to swallow, isn't it? And look, you don't have to take my word for it. Joe Biden, because he's half brain dead, he came out and said why they want to disarm you.
The Second Amendment, from the day it was passed, limited the type of people who could own a gun and what type of weapon you could own. You couldn't buy a cannon. Those who say the blood of patriots, you know, and all the stuff about how we're going to have to move against the government. Well, the Tree of Liberty is not water with the blood of patriots. What's happened is that there have never been, if you wanted to think you need to have weapons to take on the government, you need F-15s and maybe some nuclear weapons.
I'm sorry? Did the President of the United States of America just issue a threat to the American people? You're not powerful enough to take on the government. You'd need an F-15 and some nukes, because that's what we have. You better mind your P's and Q's. They come out and say it. They're very honest about it. So let's you and I resolve ourselves that from now on, we're going to understand why Democrats want to take guns. It's not because of crime. It's not because of the latest mass shooting they pretend to care about for 15 minutes. Democrats want to take your guns because Democrats want the freedom to hurt you if you don't comply. But, you know, we can point out the stats. You know what the crime numbers are? Here's some crime numbers for you. In Portland, homicides are up 533%. 533%. I'm not saying that wrong. That's a real number, okay? Shootings up 126%. In New York, shootings are up 64%. In Atlanta, shootings and homicides are both up over 40%. By the way, we're going to have Sheriff Clark on later on in the show to talk about exactly why this is happening. And look, Joe Biden, I've told you before what I think. I think it's very embarrassing to have the President of the United States of America be a half-functioning adult. I've said it a million times. I want President Kamala Harris. I know you throw things at the TV when I say that. I understand she's obviously the Antichrist, but at least she's a functioning adult. Joe Biden is not. But maybe I'm wrong. Maybe you and I should be grateful to have Joe Biden there because he's now non-functional enough to come out and say things like, well, we have nukes and F-15s. He's non-functional enough that he's being awfully, awfully honest. Well, I mean, when he can complete sentences.
Police Chief Murray of the Baltimore, Police Chief Murphy, Paul of Baton Rouge, Louisiana. It means confirming my outstanding nominee to lead the AFT, the ATF.
I'm not trying to be nitpicky. I'm not just trying to make fun of the guy. The President of the United States of America, he has to be able to talk. He just does. It's a job that involves talking. Whether you're talking to a camera or a reporter or giving a big speech somewhere or meeting another foreign leader, the President of the United States of America, he has to be able to talk. A quarterback in the NFL, he has to be able to throw. He just does. That's part of the job. Our president can't talk. We can't go on like this. We cannot go on having a half-functional man. But, like I said, we are getting the benefit of him being really, really, really honest about what he believes. Now, it's not all bad news out there. Why should you carry a weapon? Learn how to use it safely, train with it, and then carry it? Well, somebody tried to carjack the wrong guy in Dallas, Texas. And here's how that went.
I'm gonna put my gun down when they pull up. I'm gonna put it down. Yeah, man, he thought he was gonna jump in my car and pull out. And it's a stick. Can you even drive a stick? Ma'am, the officers are on the scene. The officers are on the scene now.
Okay, go ahead and take my phone, okay?
All right. Hey, my man, here go your phone. Is it okay if I give my guy his phone back?
Yes, sir. All right.
All right. Thank you, my man.
That is as good as it gets. Remember this. Remember this. One final thing. I'm going to say it one more time for the cheap seats. Democrats don't want your guns to stop crime. They don't want your guns to stop the next mass shooting. Democrats want your guns because they want the freedom to hurt you if you don't comply. All of that may have made you uncomfortable, but I'm right. Now, you ever seen the movie The Dark Knight Rises? If you haven't, it's fine, but at some point in time, Batman gets thrown into this deep, dark hole in the ground. It's this prison that's a hole in the ground, and you can look up and you can't escape it. It's just everyone goes down there, and you just stay down there, and you die. That's what it's like for people who get a timeshare and try to get out of it. Now, I don't want to indict every single timeshare company out there. I certainly would not do that, but so many of these scammers, they get you in. They sell you your timeshare, and it is impossible to get out. The horror stories I have heard about people spending thousands of dollars, they'll get you on this all the time. Well, I know you've been trying to get out for a couple years. All right, $5,000, and we'll let you out. And then even then, sometimes they don't. This has become a plague across the timeshare industry, and that's why I'm thrilled to talk to you about Newton Group Transfers. Newton Group Transfers, they've decided to help you fight and win that legal battle. If you are in a timeshare and you don't want to be there anymore and you can't find a way out, there is finally help. I've never even heard of a company that's doing this. This is awesome. Call Newton Group Transfers. I know them personally. When I tell you these are good people doing it for the right reasons, they are. They're here to help you. Call 888-84-JESSE. That's 888-84-3773 or timesharejesse.com. That's timesharejesse.com. You don't have to get stuck in that timeshare for life. You don't have to pass it down to their kids and their kids and their kids. Newton Group Transfers is here. TimeshareJesse.com or 888-84-JESSE. We'll be back. Your holster is way more important than you think it is. It's just way more important than you think it is. What? Look, and I get that. The holster's not the sexy part of carrying firearms, right? You want to talk about your weapon and your ammunition. You want to talk about your safety training. You want to talk about how you did at the range. Oh, look at my groups. I was doing these failure drills today. And all that stuff's really important. I mean, really, really important. I'm not discounting that. But I've known so many people who do all those things. They take all the necessary steps, and then they carry with a holster they bought from a big box hunting store that was made 1,000 at a time. Please, don't put your life in one of those holsters. You need to trust Northwest Retention Systems because it's all custom-made gear. It's the only thing I carry around. NWRetention.com. That's NWRetention.com. Use the promo code Jesse. Get you 10% off.
On the Jordan Harbinger Show, you'll hear amazing stories from people that have lived them, from spies to CEOs, even an undercover agent who infiltrated the Gambino crime family. You're about to hear a preview of the Jordan Harbinger Show with Jack Garcia, who did just that.
My career was 24 out of 26 years was solely dedicated working undercover. Now I walk in, I'm in the bar. Now there's a barmaid there, good looking young lady. She's serving me a drink. Yeah, what would you like? I usually, my drink was give me a Kettle One martini, three olives, glass of water on the side. I finish the drink. The guys come in. I'm going to go in my pocket, take out the big wad of money. Bam, I give her $100. If you're with the mob, I say, hey, Jordan, you're on record with us. That means we protect you. Nobody could shake you down. We could shake you down, but you're on record with us.
For more on how Jack became so trusted in the highest levels of the Gambino organization, check out episode 392 of The Jordan Harbinger Show.
Well, we're going to get to some critical race theory stuff here in a second. We have teachers upset they can't teach communism anymore. We have Heavy D blasting away at these teachers. We are actually getting victories out there by playing some offense. I'm going to tell you why it's not quite enough yet and why we have more to do. But before we get to that, we have to talk about something. As you know, I've been gone for a couple days. Well, here's where I was. I had to go have a little sit down with Tucker Carlson and do an extended interview with him. Now, it goes without saying, I was magnificent. And I know what you're saying, Jesse, I want to see some of it. And since I know that that's what you're sitting there saying, here's just a little bit of my interview with Tucker.
Honestly, it sounds hokey, it sounds cliche, but the reason we are in this predicament in this country is simply patriotism. We have a patriotism problem. If you have a high enough percentage of your population that loves their country, you're going to have a good country. Why? Because if you have so many people, if there are 100 people in the country and 85 of them wake up every day saying, this is a great place. Well, why do I feed my kids? Because I love my kids. Therefore, I feel like I have a duty to do right by my kids. Same way it works in a country. You wake up every single day. This is a wonderful place. I have a duty to serve it, to protect it, to make sure it stays the way it is because it's blessed me so much and provided me these opportunities. But if 85 out of 100 people wake up every day and think this place sucks, well, then you're in a lot of trouble.
Man, he's so right. All right, that's enough about me. Back to this critical race theory thing. Here's what's happening in the country right now. COVID actually provided a nice window for parents across the country to see what their kids have been learning in school. because kids are now, they're not going off to school for 7-8 hours a day. I mean, they're doing that now, but for a year they weren't. The kids were doing it all. They were doing it all on their phones, or they were doing it all on a computer. And so mom's sitting right there in the background while little Johnny's learning about how bad America sucks. And parents are figuring out, okay, our education system is anti-American and frankly disgusting. And so people have started digging into what is critical race theory? Remember, critical race theory isn't new. It's just new to you. This has been around for a long time. They've been teaching this to kids. That's why so many people in the country came out anti-America during the St. George Floyd riots. Well, parents woke up to all this. Parents started digging in. Parents are now furious that this stuff's getting taught to their kids. And we are finally making gains on the right. I don't know very many times in my life I could sit here and say, culturally, we're making gains. We are making gains right now. Parents are fully awake. They do not want this disgusting communism taught to their kids in schools, and they're pushing back against it. This stuff is getting banned in state after state after state after state. And the communist teachers, well, they're mad about it.
This is what's today is the first time our country has recognized Juneteenth as a national holiday. And yet I'm getting ready to go back to school in the fall, and my governor has put into place some ridiculous legislation that many governors across the country have put into place, such as I can't teach anything divisive, I can't teach critical race theory, and I can't teach about racial equity. This is at all public schools, colleges, and universities. So, teachers, in the past, we've been activists. After the of last year, we really need to stand up and do what's right for our kids right now. So this is a call to action, teachers. We got to stand up and fight for our kids because this is we can't lie to them.
I want you to understand something. I know your blood's probably boiling right now and you're thinking to yourself, I don't want that hag teaching my kids and all that stuff's fine. But I want you to understand something. You have to understand this about communists. You have to understand this about that teacher, all the bad ones, media, everybody you want to get mad at. Understand, that lady, she feels like she has a moral obligation to teach your kids to hate themselves and their country. She does not feel like she's the bad guy. You can see it in her eyes. That lady feels like she's the good guy. When she gets your kids in front of her, that lady feels like she is obligated to teach them how horrible they are and how horrible America is. The reason I want you to understand that is you have to understand how committed these people are. They don't think they're the bad guy. They think they're the good guy. Mao murdered 70 million of his own countrymen without a regret. Pol Pot, 25% of his country, dead. They asked him when he was about to die. He said, I'm not a violent man. I don't have any regrets. These people think they're morally right. That's why they're so dangerous. That's why we need people like Heavy D naming them.
Curriculum can really provide a guide to how that should be done. The bill also expands our previous efforts in civics to add a requirement for the high school government class that students receive instruction on the evils of communism and totalitarian ideologies. We have a number of people in Florida, particularly southern Florida, who've escaped totalitarian regimes, who've escaped communist dictatorships, to be able to come to America. We want all students to understand the difference. Why would somebody flee across shark-infested waters, say, leaving from Cuba to come to southern Florida? Why would somebody leave a place like Vietnam? Why would people leave these countries and risk their life to be able to come here? It's important that students understand that.
That's offense. Banning critical race theory? Necessary, but that's defense. Making sure you're teaching kids your values and how evil communism is? That's offense. That's how we take back ground. All right. Now, let's talk about something else uncomfortable. Are you a smoker? Or do you dip? Or do you have a friend or relative who does? It doesn't have to last forever. This is the trap I got into when I was dipping. I dipped for years. I tried to quit and failed at quitting so many times. I got to the point where I just threw up my hands and I was like, well, it's just going to be forever. I'll just dip till the day they bury me. Bury me with a dip in my lip. It doesn't have to be, because Jake's Mint Chew is here now. It is tobacco-free. It is nicotine-free. It's even sugar-free. But you can still put that dip in. Or if you're a smoker, they have these CBD pouches that really take the edge off. It is the way to quit. Get your fix, but get it without tobacco and nicotine. Get it with Jake's Mint Chew. Go to jakesmintchew.com. That's jakesmintchew.com. Make sure you use the promo code Jesse. That gets you 10% off. We still got Sheriff Clark. We got Bobby Eberle. We got a great show coming up. We'll be back. Well, cops are leaving, and they're leaving in record numbers, and it stinks. Joining me now, one we can trust, former Milwaukee Sheriff David Clark, also author of the book Cop Under Fire. Sheriff, we have numbers that are staggering from New York City. 5,000 leaving. 5,000. Now, I understand people in rural America, I've made this mistake myself, brush off these big cities sometimes, but we don't want our big cities to just turn into absolute hellholes, do we?
No, we don't. These are the center of urban life. There's no doubt about that. They have their issues. Look, you know, cities are complex entities, and you know that. But one of the most important things that you have to do when you're the leader of a city, whether it's a mayor or a town or city council, is you have to secure the personal safety of your citizens. You have a large amount of people living in a very condensed and compacted area, and so you have to have people with social skills. What you have in these urban centers, all run by Democrats, is you have the rise of the Black underclass. That's where most of this crime is happening. The victims are Black. The perpetrators are Black. So you must do everything you can at every opportunity to keep crime under control, and that's not happening right now. They've flipped this thing on its head. The Democrats did this. Criminals have been made into victims. The cops are the bad guys. They've bastardized the criminal justice system, calling it racist. This has emboldened the criminal, for heaven's sakes. The cops are on their heel, and as a result, the crime victimization starts to rise.
Sheriff, setting aside the nut jobs on the left for just a moment, we'll get back to them. But okay, Sheriff David Clark is in charge of all these big cities. You're magically dictator now. What is the way to get this crime under control? What are the specific things they should be doing? They clearly aren't, but what things should they be doing?
Yeah, you need an effective crime strategy. First of all, the perpetrators are known, all right? They're repeat criminal offenders. So you have to empower the police, make sure that they have the proper amount of resources, power them to go out and harass, literally harass these violent career criminals. You lock them up for the longest period of time allowable by law, high bail on all these individuals so that you can keep them locked up. And once you get them off the street, look, this was already being done, for heaven's sake. So this isn't anything new. It worked. It started, ironically, with Joe Biden, who authored the crime control bill of 1994 under Bill Clinton. And this is precisely what they did. They went after the offenders, kept them off the streets. That's the key. You can't arrest them and then have the prosecutor's office, you know, turn them right back into the street. And that's what's happening in many of these big cities. So until they reverse this mindset that marginalizes and normalizes crime, you're going to see these numbers continue to skyrocket.
Okay, so here's what I'm worried about, Sheriff. We gave the numbers in the beginning. 5,000 cops leaving New York City. 500 left Chicago last year. What I'm worried about is this. Those police departments are going to get filled with cops. The guys who are leaving, and feel free to correct me if I'm wrong, I would argue a lot of those are going to be your most talented guys, smart, talented men and women with options going to do something else. So you're going to fill up these police departments, important police departments, with a bunch of turds who are maybe not the best, brightest, or smart, or you know, frankly, cleanest in the world.
And that's the slippery slope. you're right. You get a lot of police experience leaving the door. There's no legacy plan to capture that experience and somehow bottle it and be able to pass it on to the new generation of cops. But it isn't going to be that easy. One of the things, and I think you're alluding to this, is the standards are going to have to drop in order to fill these positions, because a lot of people now are looking who may have been interested in going into a career in law enforcement. They're changing their mind. They're like, uh-uh. So then you're going to have to drop the standards. And that's when you end up with a law enforcement agency, because this has happened in the past and it happens in a lot of other countries. It becomes corrupt.
Sheriff, is there a bottom? What I mean by that is I see this death spiral. You and I have had this conversation on the air several times. I see this death spiral. Like we just talked about, good cops are leaving. You're going to have worse cops come in. They're placing even more restrictions on the police, more criminals, fewer cops, fewer good cops. This just seems like the toilet bowl is swirling, and it doesn't seem like there's a bottom. Is there a bottom?
Well, yes, and that bottom happened in when Joe Biden was the head of the Senate Judiciary Committee, and he authored the Crime Control Bill of 1994, we had reached a bottom where people had had enough. The Congressional Black Caucus had had enough of these black perpetrators. Black mayors had had enough. And so they were willing to do anything that would work to get these cities under control, return some sort of civil life back to these urban ghettos. And that crime bill, that 1994 crime bill, was the ticket. That's what worked. We, after that was put into place, we experienced a record decline in crime and violence all across the United States, not just in certain areas. Everybody experienced it. We locked these individuals up, kept them off the street. And look, it's a small percentage. So you don't have that much to do in terms of identifying the repeat offenders. Getting them off the streets, for heaven's sakes. That's when, we might be reaching that again. I'm not sure. I'm talking about the bottom. But if Joe Biden had any courage and if he had any sense or any morals, he would dust off that 1994 crime bill and reinstitute it again. But now it goes against the politics of his far left-wing radicals in the Democrat Party that have demonized the police, continue to smear and attack the police, attack the criminal justice system. Insane policies like bail reform, where they don't place bail on anybody that's been arrested, no matter what the crime is. You don't have prosecutions. I saw the other day in New York where most of the people who've been arrested for rioting and looting in New York City are not going to be charged. It's those kind of crazy policies that feed this thing.
Sheriff, what is the right thing to do? I've always wondered this when it comes to teenagers, young kids, because I talk to my friends who are big city cops now, and they explain to me, you do not understand how bad the problem of child gangs is now. 9, 10, 11, 12 years old, jacking people, mugging people, shooting people. Now, that's a child, Sheriff. I don't want that kid thrown in a dungeon forever, but how do you solve that? How do you fix it? How do you reform that?
Well, we have to have a mindset change here. Look, kids can make mistakes. We all know that. They're immature, for instance, but some of the stuff that they're involved in today, these aren't mistakes. Back when I was a youngster that age, juvenile delinquency was real. It was stuff like, toilet papering trees. It was stuff like maybe going for a joyride in a car. But none of those offenses that juveniles were involved in 20, 30, 40 years ago, involved weapons, for heaven's sakes, involved joining violent gangs, involved selling drugs, for heaven's sakes. These are adult crimes. And so we have to get rid of this mindset that, these are kids and they're going to make mistakes. These aren't mistakes. This is adult criminal behavior. These are adult criminal acts. I don't care what the age is, okay? 15, 16, you do a drive-by shooting, you get caught, no more. Off the kitty land, we used to call it when I was on the street and policing in my early days. We called it kitty land, where you send a kid juvenile delinquency, a juvenile home, for instance. Unfortunately, because of the urban pathologies that exist, you have ineffective parenting. You have households headed by a single parent, usually a mom who's struggling. You have questionable lifestyle choices by juveniles and young people, like abandoning education, quitting schools, joining gangs, that sort of thing, alcohol and drug abuse. I'm sorry. We cannot excuse that behavior anymore as a mistake. That is violent criminal behavior. And anybody who's gotten one chance should get no more chances.
Sheriff David Clark, everybody, thank you so much. I appreciate you, sir.
My pleasure.
All right. Hear me out. All right? You watching me? Allergies are awful. They're absolutely awful. And I know you know what I'm talking about. That it's honestly, it's not even just the sneezing and the sniffles all the time. For me, what always got me was my eyes. I would wake up in the morning, and because I sleep on my side, sometimes I'd have tears coming out the side of my face in the morning. I just want to tear my eyeballs out of my head. You know you don't have to live like that, right? I've had air purifiers my whole life trying to keep my allergies under control. I've never had anything like the Eden Pure Thunderstorm, ever. There's no filter to replace. It uses something called sonic technology that constantly cleans your air. It'll remove odors out of your air, out of your home. I'm not making this up. It did it in mine. I'm talking cooking smells, pet odor, cigarette smoke, you name it. Eden Pure Thunderstorm will take care of it. And it stopped mold, mildew, fungus. You think there's any of that now that it's springtime? Go get one. I own three of them. Three of them. Go to EdenPureDeals.com. That's EdenPureDeals.com. Make sure you use the code Jesse, because that gets you $10 off and free shipping. Go. You'll enjoy some allergy relief. We'll be back. You don't have to dip forever. You know that, right? You don't have to smoke forever. And the reason I say it like that is I have been that guy. I've been that guy. I dipped for so long. And what would happen is I would decide I'm going to quit. Oh, it's bad for me. I'm going to quit. I'm a man. I don't need any help. I'm just going to quit cold turkey. And I would fail time and time and time again. I tried things like the patch. That didn't work. Gum, sunflower seeds. I tried it all. It's just a matter of finding the right thing to help you quit. That's Jake's Mint Chew. Go, put in your dip. Just make sure it's Jake's Mint Chew. It's tobacco-free. It's nicotine-free. It's even sugar-free. And I highly recommend, just a personal choice, I highly recommend their CBD pouches because it really helps take that extra edge off. Go to jakesmintchew.com. That's jakesmintchew.com. Make sure you use the promo code Jesse at checkout. When you do that, you get 10% off.
President Biden passed the buck to cackling Kamala when he tapped Ms. Harris as border czar. Her work on the border is non-existent. It's a joke. And even she laughs.
Ouch. Joining me now to talk about cackling Kamala and other things is host of the 13-Minute News Hour, Bobby Eberle. Bobby, I have had this theory for a long time, and please feel free to shoot holes in it, and I'm not saying I'm right, but as soon as Joe Biden put Kamala Harris in charge of the border, I came on this show and I said, there's a rift there. He took his biggest scandal and dumped it in her lap, and it's not one she's going to be able to fix, and she clearly has not fixed it. Am I wrong?
No, I think you're onto something right there because, you know, the bad blood doesn't just dissipate when the election's over. They went at each other hard during the Democrat primaries. And I think, you know, based on the things Biden was saying as he was moving toward picking a running mate, you kind of knew the writing was on the wall that he basically had to go with Harris. So, yeah, I think that when you think about the one thing that Democrats don't want to touch, I mean, they want open borders. They don't want to secure this. If you want to do something for your enemy, give them border security. Name them the border czar. I think it was exactly what Biden wanted and exactly what the Harris team didn't want to do. They don't want anything to do with the border. And yet now she's going there. I mean, it's just her hand was forced by Biden and now with Trump.
Bobby, walk me through this. You're a Republican strategist on top of being a host. Walk me through this. You said there's still bad blood there from the debates. And I've heard this as well, that there's still really bad blood there. shouldn't these people be, I don't know if above that is the right word to use, but these are all seasoned politicians. They've all been senators for 10,000 years and congressmen and whatnot. Are these people really carrying bad blood because they got a little snippy with each other at debate night?
Well, I think so. I think we're living in a different era. I mean, you know, remember, George H.W. Bush, he went after Reagan with voodoo economics and tried to blast him, and yet they formed a ticket and they worked well for 8 years. It led George H.W. into the White House for another four. But these two, I mean, again, you see these issues. Remember, Kamala Harris was voted the most liberal senator in the entire Senate, the most liberal. Joe Biden, you know, he's going, he's being pushed by the left because he doesn't have it going on upstairs anymore. But he was considered more middle of the road at the time. So philosophically, they don't even mesh. But politically, they need to be on the same page because you see what's going on. Joe Biden can't give a press conference. Kamala Harris, she can't give one either. She's cackling, like you said. She won't answer any of the questions. They're definitely not on the same page, man.
Bobby, all right, walk me through this fantasy world question I'm about to ask you here. Kamala Harris gets stuck with the border. It sucks. But Kamala Harris's political future sucks too. Joe Biden is obviously a half-functioning adult. Nobody expects him to be running again in 2024, making Kamala kind of the de facto nominee. But she has the personality of a grizzly bear with an impacted molar, so she's not going to do well in a presidential race. What if, why wouldn't Kamala go down to the border and drop the hammer? Actually do border security? What does it help Democrats to have open borders? Why not go down and just become a bloodthirsty assassin on the border and close it? She could have a huge thing on her resume.
Right. Well, it's because these people can't read the tea leaves. They can't see the trends. As you know, you go down south at the border, you just had a Republican mayor elected in a town that's 80% Hispanic. The Hispanics are moving. They don't. The Democrats seem to think that just because you're Hispanic, that you don't want border security, that you don't want safety in your area. So they're misreading everything. And on the politics side, yeah, Joe Biden is a short-termer, and Kamala Harris has no coattails as vice president. You're going to see something wide open, just like you saw in 2020. They don't catch a clue about what is going on at the border. If they did do actual border security and talk tough, they'd win back some of these Hispanics that are clearly moving away from that kind of policy position and heading over to the Republicans.
Okay, Bobby, with the exception of destroying the country, which I believe they actually do want to do, what does open borders actually help Democrats? How does it help Democrats? I mean, frankly, most of these illegals that pour into this country, they pour into the cities, the big cities, the Democrat-run cities, putting an extra strain on their resources. It doesn't, I guess I just, from a purely cynical point of view, I don't look at it as a political win in any way. Am I missing something?
Yeah, I do look at it as a political win because, yeah, they pour into those cities, they strain the resources. But what the Democrats see is a voting block of people who are straining the resources. When you look at the statistics of people who come over, immigration in general, but particularly illegal immigration, there is such a high percentage, a majority of illegals end up on the welfare system, end up on some kind of assistance. Those the Democrats bank will become Democrat voters because it's the Democrats who are supposedly looking out for them. It's a false premise, but the Democrats bank on that. And the trend is turning away, but they've had reason to bank on it in the past because those people tended to vote Democrat.
All right. Well, let's, you know, you brought up something about 2024 and you don't necessarily think it's going to be Harris. Let's just assume Joe Biden has hung up the spurs and called it a day and retired to Boca Raton by that point in time. You don't see that being Kamala's? Who's going to step in and bounce Kamala?
Well, I mean, she's obviously running as the vice president. I have a feeling that the media is going to back her, but I think it's wide open. I think you see all these people come out again. You've got the Pete Buttigieg. I mean, Beto thinks he's entitled to some kind of office. He goes from congressman to running for Senate to running for president. Now, what is he going to run for governor? He may be back in the mix, but the whole cast of characters that we saw the last time around, I think they're gonna look at this as just a fresh open seat, forget the sitting VP. Kamala Harris will be in the mix, but she's shown, not just during the campaign or her Senate tenure, but even as vice president, that she can't lead. that she can't solve any kind of problem. So I don't consider her any kind of front runner.
Bobby, I see a Democratic Party, and look, I'm the most biased person in the world. I'm not a journalist. And I see them just way, way, way out of step with what I think is the average American. Yet they have the presidency, they have the House, they have the Senate. So is it me who's out of step with the average American now? Has the country changed?
No, I think what you're seeing is the Democrats overplayed their hand. What we have is a razor-thin margin in the House, 5 seats. We've got a tie in the Senate, and we've got Democrat leadership in the presidency that can't even get out a coherent sentence. So yeah, we did see a shift, but I think you're going to see a dramatic shift back. I mean, just from the census, without having to run a campaign, just from the census, Florida gains a seat, Texas gains 2 seats. They're controlled by Republicans in the legislature. I think we have a good chance of winning just on the census alone, but because of the policies, I think we're going to have a Republican House. I think we're going to win back the Senate, and then in 2022, and then in 2024, it's wide open. But I think people have seen enough of critical race theory in schools, of open borders, of policy after policy that doesn't put America first. I think Americans like America first, and they'll go back to it.
Bobby, let's set aside Donald Trump because he'll walk to the nomination if he runs. And actually, let's set aside Ron DeSantis because he's everybody's belle of the ball right now. Who's right. another Republican I should be looking at or looking out for in 2024?
I think Tim Scott's going to throw his hat in the ring. I think that, you know, from the talk, he's pretty much out there. I think you've got Lindsey Graham's going to take a look. Marco Rubio's going to take a look. Nikki Haley's going to take a look. Right. No one's super exciting. No one to really fire you up. But those are the ones that are going to emerge. DeSantis, Trump, those are the keys. You took them out of this equation. We can't mention them. But Scott, Graham, Rubio, Haley, some of those others I think you're going to see in the mix, especially early on.
Hold on, Bobby. Yep. Lindsey Graham? What? Are you serious? How would he even think he would have a prayer at the nomination? Or is this just a come-by-my-book tour?
No, it's a come-by-my-book tour. I mean, we've seen people do it a lot of times. But, I mean, Jeb Bush thought he had a chance at the nomination in 2020. And I think any sane person knew that that wasn't going to happen. And yet he was in the mix. He was in one of those original 17 until it whittled down. You're going to see a lot of people like that. That think, you know, and then senators, of course, they've got these off-year elections. Anyone who's not up for election, probably going to take a look at 2024 as well. Ted Cruz, he's probably going to be in the mix. I didn't mention him on the first pass. Definitely throw him in there as well.
Bobby Eberle, everyone. Thank you so much, Bobby. Always making us smarter.
Yep, you got it.
All right, we're going to lighten the mood next. You know, it's been a heavy show, but I'm back. I can't leave you on a sour note all down and out, right? Let's lighten the mood. Here's Elmo.
Ooh, oatmeal raisin. Boy, that's Elmo's favorite. Well, Gabby, can Elmo have an oatmeal raisin cookie instead, please?
Oh, gee, Elmo, that was my last one.
Oh, that's okay, Gabby. Elmo will just take this one.
No, wait, Elmo. What? Rocco says that he wants the oatmeal raisin cookie.
Rocco? Rocco's a rock, Zoe. Rocco won't know the difference.
Yes, he will. You can't have that cookie, Elmo. Rocco wants to eat it.
How is Rocco going to eat that cookie, Zoe? Tell Elmo. Rocco doesn't even have a mouth. Rocco's just a rock. Rocco's not alive.
He is too alive.
Oh, boy.
Hey, now calm down, you two.
Boy. All day long, Rocco's been getting his way. And now Zoe's saying Elmo can't even have his favorite cookie because she wants to give it to a rock.
You know, in hindsight, I wish I'd played something different. His voice is just awful. I'll see you tomorrow.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart Podcast.